Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What's it like to be on the verge of retirement? What lessons have been learned through the collective years of a fulfilling career? What is there to look forward to? You know, it's one thing to want to retire. It's quite another thing to see retirement in God's plan and purpose. Would you do things differently if you had it to do over again? Such is the story of our guest, but only part of the story. We pause to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you to Jesus Christ. My friend, if you are listening today and you've been searching, you've been looking, you've been wondering, hey, what is this about people who follow Jesus, people who call themselves Christians, people who say they're born again? What does it all mean? And it seems as though you might be looking from, peering in from the window, from outside, and you want to know what it's like. Well, in this genuine moment, a moment of authenticity, sharing heart to heart, you will get to know, just by hearing the testimony of our guest today, what it's like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And as you do, I hope that your heart will be drawn in. And in so doing, that sooner than later, perhaps even today, you would open your heart to Jesus Christ, who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and the living Christ today, this moment, calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? There might be others of you who certainly listen because you are a follower of Jesus. And well, our hope today is that you would be encouraged, inspired, and built up. Pastor Pat Curtis has been the senior pastor of Valley Bible Church for 20 years. He grew up in Northern California. He holds a THM degree from Dallas Theological Seminary and a DMIN degree from Western Seminary. Previously, he established and directed Evergreen Youth Ministry in Evergreen, Colorado, and was the senior pastor of the Evangelical Free Church in Santa Rosa, California, for 11 years. He's been married to his high school sweetheart, Carol, for 41 years. They have 3 grown children and 6 grandchildren. Pat's interests include reading, exercise, and outdoor sports and activities. He remains a committed San Francisco 49er and San Francisco Giants fan. Pat will be retiring from his position at Valley Bible Church in Vermont at the end of the summer and returning to California. So welcome today, our guest from Vermont via telephone, Pastor Pat Curtis. Pat, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you, Danny.
Well, we mentioned a little bit, but where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was the what I like to call the well-adjusted middle child of five kids in our family. I was really the youngest of the oldest set of 3 boys, and then my brothers were gone, and I was the oldest of my 2 younger sisters. So, but I didn't grow up in a religious home. We would go to church maybe every couple of months or so, but wasn't really introduced much to it, and just thought it was about getting dressed up and getting kicked out of Sunday school, things like that.
Now, you mentioned, you know, being a 49er fan, being a Giant fan. This may be a little bit on the side, but maybe it's not so much on the side. When did this, I know there's such a loyalty in San Francisco to their sports teams. Where do you feel this love and loyalty for these teams, where did it grow?
Well, my dad was into sports, football and baseball, so football and baseball I played, and a lot of San Francisco Giants and San Francisco 49ers actually lived in our area. So, this is before they were really terribly good, truthfully, but, Willie Mays lived in our area, and Al Darkson, actually, who was the manager of the Giants in the early 60s, was the father of one of the guys I played Little League with. And same thing with a couple of other players, and same thing with 49ers. We, Y.A. Tittle's kids. People remember him from the New York Giants, but he was a 49er first, and his kids still lived and went to grade school and high school together with me, and we were on the same football team together. So, they were just, it was part of our life, so it's what we did.
I mean, so it sounds like when parents come to pick up their kids after practice, or when parents come to watch the kids, go through their drills, you might see Y.A. Tittle there driving up in the car, or
well, they could have at some point. Yeah, there wasn't lots of that, but there was some of it. But I think my dad had season tickets for forever to 49er games. So back in Kezar, and then when they switched to Candlestick, and in fact they that was back when they weren't winning. he actually made it through their five Super Bowls, which was fortunate for him. But at that point, believe it or not, he sold the rights to his tickets. He had four of them left at that point, right about on the 50-yard line, and he sold the rights to them, just the rights to them, for like $50,000.
Wow.
So before, I think, his company owned 100 of them, and he couldn't hardly give them away in the 50s and early 60s. So when they talk about the 49er faithful, some of us go back and beyond when they were just winning Super Bowls and enjoyed them. So.
Well, deeply rooted. Pat, who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Wow. Well, my grandmother couldn't even tell my dad and I apart on the phone. So probably my dad quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not always for good. But our temperaments were alike, and somehow I just kind of assimilated much of his personality.
What was it? What was it about your dad? I mean, it sounds like some of it was just natural, but what was it about dad that influenced
you
so
much?
Well,
my dad was larger than life. He actually got he looked like a professional football player. He had huge, humongous shoulders. He had a jaw that was enormous, and he would play tennis with some of the 49ers. He looked more like a professional football player than they did. And I used to talk about my dad and say he took up a lot of room in a room. And it wasn't just his physical presence; his personality was that large, and so he just dominated the space he was in. I don't dominate a space in the same way my dad does. I'm not physically like my dad in that way, but there are some of his outlandish characteristics, I guess, that I've taken on. Whatever that means. It's a pretty secular thing, but it nevertheless was a huge part. I had such a high regard for my dad. And interestingly enough, Danny, I don't think you know this, but prayed for my dad for how many years? 40-plus years. And as I say prayed for him, I mean kind of on and off, because you just get tired of praying for somebody for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 weeks before he died, my dad finally came to faith in the Lord. And it was so unbelievable, it was hard for me to even believe it. But it was a tremendous thing. My wife, actually, who was like his daughter, is the one who led him to Christ. We had talked over and over again. I had kind of every Easter sermon I gave, I sent to him, and we listened together. And so So we'd talk, but he would have none of it. And finally, the Lord got a hold of him, which was just a wonderful, rich blessing. But because he was such a large part of my life, it wasn't just a blessing for me. The church in Santa Rosa and our friends in Santa Rosa, you know, 20 years later, they were incredibly amazed that my dad had come to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my church here as well, because they, you know, they know me and they know my family in that sense. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful.
Well, I'd like to find out a little bit more. Let's talk about that further. What actually happened? I mean, you talk about six weeks before he passed. And I think, Pat, the reason why it may be good for us to stay a little while on this incredible miracle that God did in your dad's life is because there are those who are on the verge right now of just throwing in the towel with regard to prayer for someone. They are exasperated. But it's hard to compare, you know, someone praying for 10 years or for 10 months or for 10 days for that matter, when you hear someone who's been praying for over four decades for a loved one. Recently, a friend of mine from Japan had just told me how his father, what we call more of a traditional Japanese, received Christ, and he had been praying for quite a long time, decades too. But you know, a gregarious, a larger than life, a person who has that charisma that takes up the space in a room, like you said, that can be daunting when it comes to reaching out. But you've seen the Lord work. When we come back, more from Pastor Pat Curtis from Vermont, sharing his stories heart to heart with you. You don't want to miss it. You're going to be encouraged. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an e-book, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, what's it like to grow up? Okay, you grow up and you're Your daddy's your hero. I mean, he looks like a hero. He looks like a superhero. He's got that locked in square jaw, tall, strapping. I mean, he looks more like a professional athlete than some of the professional athletes you hear about or even see. I mean, just imagine a moment of great tension happening and everyone's scared. People are nervous. They don't know what to do. And your father comes and he brings a whole new atmosphere that comes along with him. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm speaking about our guest today as he has described a little bit about his dad and he'll share more. His name is Pastor Pat Curtis. He's the senior pastor at Valley Bible Church in Vermont, and he's joining us by phone. And it's a blessing that you're with us today listening, because I believe you'll be encouraged, inspired as you hear the stories of Pat Curtis. To find out more, perhaps you're tuning in right now, maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment, you want to get the program in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get the podcast for free. That and other resources. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Pat, your dad, okay? Your wife led him to Christ after 41 years. But hey, during the break, you were mentioning something about, race riots in San Francisco. Take us back. What was it like?
Well, I lived in a kind of a ritzy area. We actually didn't have a lot of money, but we lived in a place that many people had a lot of money. And we had a racially mixed school where they bused African-Americans in from really what was a ghetto in East Palo Alto and East Menlo Park. And there were also another blue-collar element. And in the 60s, mid-60s, there were race riots. And, our school went from about 2,200 down to 1,900, so people pulled out. But parents would come on, and people liked it that my dad came on. A lot of friends that were happy that my dad, at that point, my dad was actually out of work for a couple of years, and he was able to come on, and he came to all ball games and everything else. But he was a presence. So
after 41 years of sharing Christ with your dad, listening to sermons, him hearing you preach, not responding, I mean, that could be reasonable cause for someone to say, you know what? Maybe it's not going to happen. You ever feel like that?
I actually didn't think it would happen. The very year we were out visiting, I had kind of asked him to listen to my sermon from Easter, and he listened to it, and he said, "Okay, Pat," he said, "I'll consider that." But I just didn't believe him. Carol, my wife, believed him, and so she followed up. And she kept saying, "Well, you know, he said he'd think about it." I said, "He's not going to think about it." So I had become so skeptical that even in the midst of God beginning to answer prayers, I wasn't seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carol, I mean, this is kind of how the body of Christ works, but Carol was at a Bible study, and she was saying that she needed to call. I don't know if she was ratting me out about refusing to call him, but she was wanted to call my dad, and some friend challenged her. Well, you call her now, and I'll pray for you. And so she pulled over in a parking lot, called him, and he actually had been considering the things that were on that full sermon, and gave his life to Christ. So it's a
moment of culmination. I mean, this is after 41 years, right?
Yeah, and lots of conversations, and some of them heated. When we graduated from college, when my wife and I graduated from college, I worked for my dad in a business he was starting for 2 years before going to seminary. And he told me something. I'm junior. I'm the third son, but I'm James Patrick Jr.
Hmm.
So he was Jim, and I went by Pat. But it was one of the ironies of our family that the one who was most like him actually had his name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would make a big deal about St. Patrick's Day and say he was St. Patrick. And so we're driving into work one day, and I said, well, you know, actually, I am St. Patrick, but you're not. Because a saint, he had this Catholic view of saint. I said, a saint is just someone who is a believer in Jesus Christ, and Dad, you're not. So actually, I am St. Patrick. And you're not. And he kind of registered that, and that was okay. We could talk that way.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get to the point I'm going to make, but one of the ironies is that when my wife and I first started dating in high school, my folks actually asked me to say grace at the dinner table at a Thanksgiving dinner, and I told them no, I didn't believe in God, so I wasn't going to say grace.
Huh.
And Carol was mortified that I would do that, but it was okay to do that in my family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't being disrespectful. I had gone through confirmation in an Episcopal church and did what they wanted me to do, but I didn't believe any of it and told them that mm-hmm. they did what they thought was responsible. And so now, of course, years later, things had reversed. But while I was working for him, in business, we were sitting in his office one day and he said, he was trying to figure me out because I was so much like him, but there was this big, huge difference. And he said, you and Carol, you're different. He said, you really live as if you really believe this. In other words, he was seeing that it affected how we lived, how I operated in business and how we conducted our life. So that was perhaps the greatest compliment that I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always something and a fond affection between us, and between he and my wife, and that never went away. Ultimately, I think that is what helped break down some of the barriers. But the biggest factor for him was, you know, I think when he looked back on his life, he figured he wasn't that smart. He had finally been successful, and had, you know, all the money he needed in retirement. And when he looked back on it, he just thought, you know, I was just lucky. I wasn't that smart. So it was an interesting way to look back for a guy who has always presented this super confidence that now he felt like, man, I didn't have much control over any of that stuff. And I wasn't that good. And that shook his world. I think one of the most difficult things to happen, it's for somebody who has lived their life for 80 years in a certain direction to say, you know, I was wrong. I was off. I didn't know. And that's really what it takes. That's what it took for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the humbling of old age, looking back and recognizing, you know, how vulnerable he was and how he didn't have it all together, I think that humbled him to the point of recognizing his need. I don't think his being a sinner was ever an issue for him. Although he did swear at me at one point and told me what a good man he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Dad, you are a good man, but it's never going to be good enough on God's hand.
Yeah.
So.
It's a word of encouragement, really, deeply, for someone today who, you know, someone might even feel like, you know, people get to a certain point where, you know, you can't change them. They will not change. They reach a certain age. They're so set in their ways. But what you're saying is very insightful, Pat, about what a person goes through in the moments of reflection. And it just opens a window for us to get a glimpse of understanding that even though a person might be older, more experienced, through the course of life, they may become even more dislodged with regard to the things that they conveyed confidence in before.
Oh, yeah.
And these are the moments when, like Carol, being prompted, made the call. She didn't give up. And your father was ready in the twilight moments of his life. See,
and I'm the pastor. I was supposed to do that.
Well, you know what? You're actually probably giving a lot of hope to some pastors who have given up on some people themselves. They'll never admit it. But by you saying it, it's like, oh, okay. Well, I'm not the only one. No, I'm not the only pastor. But say a word of encouragement to somebody who is on the verge. Let them know that it's not too late and they can re-engage and the greater moments are ahead. We got about 30 seconds. A word to somebody today, Pat.
Just that, you know, God doesn't need even your faithfulness. And that's how gracious he is. It would be easy for me to look at this as a real failure on my part. And the reality is I engaged with my dad my whole life. And I just had a hard time believing. But even in the midst of my unbelief, God was still faithful. What a tremendous thing. And that ought to give encouragement for anybody to keep praying. Because it's not on how good or how excellent or our presentation. It's about God's ability to change a heart.
And even so, even when we feel like, you know, our emotional energy level is just down to nothing, or even we are running on empty when it comes to this particular matter of reaching out, but you become exasperated, God can still, wouldn't you say, Pat, still work through that?
He does, and I think it is, you know, when we step out on faith, it means we're doing things that are not natural. We're doing things that are not necessarily our inclination. We're not doing them because we think we can handle it and we can say just the right thing. We're doing it because we know it's right. And the truth is that's what Carol was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Carol doesn't like to speak in front of people. She feels like she always gets her words mixed up, and yet she was faithful and just said it. And just spoke the truth. And
God uses us.
Absolutely.
When we are obedient.
Absolutely.
The simplicity and the profound impact of obedience to God. With all our gaps, with all our limps, with all our bumps and bruises, hey, the Lord in his sovereign grace is able to move marvelously. You're listening to Pastor Pat Curtis, pastor of Valley Bible Church in Vermont. Yes, heart to heart with you. And dear one, as you listen, maybe you're at a place in life where you're wondering, reconsidering, hey, have I really done it all on my own? Have I really been all that smart? Or was it the grace of God that allowed me to be where I am today? And I've never really acknowledged him, never accepted him, never opened my heart. Maybe today's that day for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry?
someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Maybe somebody has mentioned something like this, somehow to this effect. I know it's been told to me, Danny, you think you know, but you don't know. You don't really have an idea of what's going to happen. Specifically in relation to what God will do in your life when you bring yourself to Him, when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, we don't know what God is going to do. The marvelous things that He's going to take us through, the way that He's going to build us up, the experiences, the things we'll see, what we'll know and understand, how more intimately we will be with Him when you come to Christ. Oh, we don't know yet how it's going to be until we come. Would you come? Would you open your heart to Jesus? My guest today, Pat Curtis, opened his heart to Christ, and his life has taken numerous turns, of which he will share today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad that you're with us today. And as you listen today, maybe you want to hear more about Pat Curtis, find out more about his ministry. You can find out more at valleybiblechurch.org. valleybiblechurch.org. Pat, how did you become a Christian?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, my folks required that I go through, or asked me, I guess, to go through confirmation class in the Episcopal Church we sometimes attended, so I did. I think I heard the gospel there and rejected it. I was very much a materialist, couldn't see it, touch it, measure it, then it wasn't there. I wasn't a terribly deep thinker, but I did go through times where I just kind of wondered about life and what was its purpose and meaning. I felt like I was extremely fortunate, grew up in a very happy home. I've talked about my dad. My mom may have been just as big an influence on me. Great mom, great dad, solid family, married my high school sweetheart. My life was good. I did well in sports, did fine in school, and everything was good. But, you know, here we had a racially mixed school, and I realized I could still be me, and I could be black, and born across the freeway in this ghetto, and my whole life would be different. And what if I was, not just that, but what if I was a paraplegic? wasn't my fault I wasn't a paraplegic, but what if I was? My whole life would be a mess. And those were things I had no control over whatsoever. I mean, the only thing I could explain is the only reason I was, for instance, good athletically was because of my genes. Well, then it wasn't my parents, it was their parents, and I had no end to that. And, of course, it felt pretty slippery that everything that my life depended upon all those things that weren't really anything about that I had anything to do with. So those were deep, troubling thoughts for me, quite frankly. And by the time Carol and I were seniors in high school, the Young Life Club, Christian organization, grew in a way that I actually hadn't. I had been to it, I think, when I was a sophomore. There were maybe 20 or 30 kids there. Didn't really like it. Talked about religious stuff. Somebody invited Carol. She made me come with her. There were now 250 kids. And they over a period of 6, 7, 8 weeks presented the gospel, only they didn't use religious language. I was now listening. And I didn't believe it, but I found it appealing to me. And so I started to go to a Bible study at 6 o'clock in the morning. And none of the seniors were at this Bible study. I didn't really know the kids at the Bible study, but I was there to study the Gospel of John and to see what it had to say about Jesus. And so I'm now going on Tuesday night to Young Life, on Tuesday morning at 6 in the morning to breakfast at somebody's house with maybe 10 of the kids. And then they had another Bible study on Sunday afternoon that I started going to, because those were the seniors. And we'd play basketball or do something, and then we'd have a Bible study. So I've become rather religious, even though I didn't believe any of it. And Carol, who is now my wife, actually trusted Christ fairly quickly. And I kept telling her it was just all in her head. It was just psychological. She was telling me how wonderful it was, and I said, yeah, but it's not true. And what I was, I got the gospel. I understood that Jesus was the Son of God who came to die for our sins. I got my own sinfulness. I knew who the Bible claimed that Jesus was. I knew the plan of salvation, what that was all about. I got all that. I simply didn't believe it. And my hang-up was this. My hang-up was, as we go through the Gospel of John, there are several signs that prove who he was, and I didn't believe they really happened. Because my reasoning was this. If there was miracles then how come I don't see them today? And so I thought, then I can't believe that they happened then. It was that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the second Bible study I'm now going to, this is like 3 months in. So I'm still attracted to it. I like what it's saying. It makes sense, but I don't believe it. And I don't know that I'm being belligerent. I just, if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. So at the second Bible study, one of the guys who was going to it asked the Young Life leader, different leader, and said, Dick, what if somebody asked me how to define God, how would I do that? What do I do with that? Because he'd been talking to somebody about Christ. He was a Christian. And Dick, our Young Life leader, Dick Weaver, he was also a teacher at the school. He said, well, once you define God, he's no longer God because you put him in a box. And, Danny, I have no idea how I made this connection, but I immediately understood I was putting God in a box. I was telling God, if you did a miracle 2,000 years ago when Christ was here, then you have to do miracles the same way today, or I won't believe you. And I finally grasped that God was bigger than that. He can act any way he wants, anytime he wants. He doesn't have to be consistent. He can do whatever he wants. And so that... Again, I already had the gospel. That was the moment I believed. I never prayed a prayer. I didn't do any of that. I just got it, finally. And my life has never been the same. In fact, the house where we were having that Bible study happened to be right across the street from where Carol lived. And I can, to this day, I can remember greeting her in the street and telling her what happened and the tears coming down. Because... she, frankly, was facing whether we could continue to go out or not. because she was growing in her faith with Christ, and she knew that I was the one thing that was in her way. So all that changed.
What would you say to someone who is in a similar position? They know they've been given the gospel. They even have an understanding of it, the plan of salvation, but they don't believe. What would you say?
I would say that they need to keep looking, that God will speak to them. Now, I don't mean that God spoke directly to me, but somehow he opened my eyes to see in a way I didn't see before, and I'm confident that's exactly what God wants to do. Now, I'm not omniscient. I don't know that he does that in all cases, but I absolutely believe that those who sincerely seek and look with an open heart will find it. And I think part of it was because I really wanted to know. I was a truth guy. I wanted to know the truth. That was important to me. And if I didn't believe it was the truth, I wasn't going to say I did for anybody. So I appreciate the honest integrity of somebody who's saying, you know, I just don't believe that. That's okay. But stay after it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we there isn't any of us who don't have more questions than we have answers. So I think we recognize that the older we get. And I don't mean don't have lots of answers in the scripture. I just mean in the puzzle of life, my gosh, we don't have it all together. We may present like we do, but we don't. And I think my dad ultimately is a good example of coming to the end of that and getting, finally admitting it and facing the fact that he didn't have all the answers. And to finally understand and see how Jesus cuts through all of that it is worth the wait, and it's worth the effort to look and to continue to look.
And there is something to say, Pat, about authentic response to God. And, you know, if someone believes honestly, it's different than someone being coerced or manipulated and then giving emotional consent or intellectual consent to something that still isn't in their heart. And I think it affects, as we would call in the body of Christ today, the discipleship process. If you're in it, but you're halfway in because you don't really believe it, but you're acting like it. Sometimes maybe it's good to be truly gut level honest, like Pat was, because when you do get it, there's a different level of substance that comes with it. And even in his case, the Lord was preparing him through that process to call him to ministry. He's been doing that for decades now. He's on the verge of retirement. We'll talk about that and something a lot more sensitive. Difficult times. How has the Lord helped Pat Curtis through those difficult times of life? He'll share more when we come back. Gut level stuff. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Honesty. Honesty. Honesty with God. Have you been there? Or, you know, have you been in a place where you dance around God, you sort of make, you know, figuratively speaking, you know, you make a face here, you make a face there, but deep in your heart, there is sort of a wishy-washiness that goes along with it. If you've been there, or if you're at that place right now, you know, this is not a point of ridicule, this is not a point of, like, highlighting something that's a bit odd, because people go through that, and you're not alone. There's been times even for me where I have not taken God as seriously as I should. And actually, in doing that, I short-circuit something even within my own heart. And that's the thing. When it comes to faith in Christ, you know, it's never a perfect moment where you say, look, I've got it all together, now I can accept Christ because now I'm acceptable. No, it's not that. But Are you authentic? Are you genuine, honest, even in despair, even in frustration, even in confusion, even in disbelief? I believe if you come and say, Lord, I want to believe, but I just don't believe. The Lord can work with that, as He worked in the heart of our dear guest today, Pastor Pat Curtis, joining us by phone from Vermont. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. To find out more about our program, to get our resources, hey, get this podcast for free. And as I typically say, pass it on to a family member or a friend. I believe they'll be encouraged by it, inspired even. Get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out more about Pastor Pat and his ministry, Valley Bible Church, there in Vermont, valleybiblechurch.org. valleybiblechurch.org. Pat, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, there's a number of ways. One is sound theology. I was helped on one hand by immediately being introduced to a church that helped us see that God did not promise us a good life. And what I mean is a pain-free life. And so when we had our second child while we were in seminary, there was something wrong, and it was took a while to figure out what was wrong, but it turned out he had cerebral palsy, which simply means he was born with brain damage. And it was a relatively mild case, but I cringe every time I say that because I think of all the learning disabilities and all the physical disabilities, even though most people wouldn't know. But that was a crisis that we went through that didn't we truthfully, we never felt bitter. We never felt like we did something wrong. We never felt anything other than wanting to love this young boy. And when it became difficult was when he was very bright. So when he was tested at 2.5, he was tested not only as having cerebral palsy, but he always very verbal, but physically not able to do much. And when he returned about four, he had a little sister, 3 years younger, and he just finally discovered that the CP is why he couldn't do things. And so he had lots of therapy, occupational therapy, and various things. Of course, his sister, who is three years younger, could do everything he could not do physically. And he was one of those just, there are kids that are just naturally sweet, and he was one of them. And Matt just became irate and angry. And this is when James Dobson is telling everybody, you know, the most important thing to give your child is a good self-esteem. And there'll be something he can do well, so figure out what he can do well and help him be a tennis player or whatever. And we immediately recognized that that was very limited. It's not terrible advice, but it's pretty limited, because this was a situation in which he wasn't going to be able to get that wasn't going to be, and self-esteem was exactly the problem. In fact, what Matt did, who was a very, very bright, precocious boy, nevertheless said, "Why'd you have me last?" He had a sister 3 years younger, and he knows age. He's not dumb. "Why did you have me last?" Because that's how he felt. And I just remember being on our, we never get on our knees to pray, but being on our knees to pray, Carol and I, praying not that he would have good self-esteem, but praying that God would grab his heart. And God answered that prayer. He's now a pastor, actually, in Southern. More than any kid I've ever known, led people to Christ. In spite of never having the kind of ability to do everything everybody else did in the same way, has had a remarkable life in many ways. So that wasn't anything we did. I literally think it was God somehow miraculously answering that prayer. That was a difficult external thing. Mm-hmm. The other most difficult thing we went through is when we moved from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast. Our oldest son was in college, so he came out for a couple of weeks and then went back to Colorado College. Our next son, Matt, who I just spoke about, was a senior in high school, hard time to leave, and our daughter was a sophomore. And our daughter almost immediately got involved with drugs. And became, I don't know how to say it. And our relationship is 100% restored, but became almost vile in her anger towards us. Mm-hmm. And that was a very, very difficult time. It was painful. It was hurtful. And we, you know, what do you do? How do you navigate through that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were never quite sure. But it felt like every decision was critical. Every single one. They weren't, of course, but that's how it felt. And ultimately, the only thing that got us through that was this abiding sense that God was still going to see us through it. And hopefully, Jenny, one day I hope he'll see our daughter through that.
Mm-hmm.
She has come up. She now thinks we're the greatest parents in the world. She has not come to faith in Christ yet. Loves us, fond affection, but I say she hasn't come to faith. I actually don't know. My wife thinks that she's just a believer, but is just pushing it aside. That may be, or it may be that her childhood profession and the sweetness of her face when they're young was really just kind of going along with mom and dad. It's hard to say. So that is still the burden of our heart, mm-hmm. quite frankly. But it was God's faithfulness. It was His Word that nurtured us when we would read it. But it took a long time. This didn't happen, you know, over a period of 1 or 2 weeks. This happened over a period of years,
mm-hmm.
and it was ongoing and it was difficult. And as a pastor, you face, so is this your failure? And does this disqualify you for ministry? And so we had a very supportive church who who hold to the word of God, who believe that one can be disqualified from ministry, but didn't believe this disqualified me. And they were faithful. In fact, I have to say, I think you'll appreciate this, Danny, probably in the midst of this is when we were constantly getting phone calls about how to help them raise their kids. That's when anybody with teenagers wanted to talk to us. It's remarkable that it was more this perception of failure that opened the doors, not the prospect of success. Who wants to talk to a guy who's successful when you're not? Right? Yeah. But somebody who gets it, that was a whole different thing. Yeah.
Pat, I appreciate your openness, your willingness to share, your transparency, because it does. It engages people who are also going through, hey, this guy knows. This guy's gone through it. He understands what it's like, and God has seen him through. You are a vessel of Christ's hope. As we wrap today, we've got just less than a minute. A word about retirement and God's purpose. A parting shot with regard to that in relation to your place in life right now.
It just means I'm not getting paid anymore, Danny. My challenge is, so now how does God want to use me? We had talked at the conference about a call to ministry. I never knew I was going to be a pastor. I didn't even go to seminary thinking I was going to be a pastor. I just knew that because he redeemed me, that everyone is responsible to live their life for Christ and to influence others. So the challenge for us is, in a whole new role, without the title and without all that, how will I be influencing people for Christ? And I think at this point, I think I have probably a better idea what my gifts and skills are and where to plug in. And I'm anxious to be of whatever help I can be to whatever church we start plugging into, because I'm a churchman, so I want to make sure we plug into a church. So.
And not only that, when it happens, you know, the official retirement. Pat Curtis, you have begun by reaching each one of our dear listeners. There may be thousands and thousands listening, but they're hearing you, and they're hearing the Lord speak through you, personally, one-on-one. And so that's why I thank you. I thank you for your time, your valuable time, and your heart, your tenderness, your compassion and grace. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
I hope that you've been moved, encouraged by the insights, the heartfelt sharing of Pastor Pat Curtis. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, my friend, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I got a presentation for you there, a message there. To help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Proverbs 14:26 says, "Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Pastor Pat Curtis. Find out more at valleybiblechurch.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.